me. Hello everyone, my name's Anthony, I'm an addict.
Hi, Anthony.
My heart's popping panic, I can kind of feel it and that. I just sat here really, really nervous. And it's kind of not because of how many people's here, really. It's kind of the reputation of this meeting, you know. Kind of where I'm from in Portsmouth. Talk about this meeting, you know, how big it is and stuff like that. And then there's a like 15-minute share and the 40-minute share and stuff like that. And you know, you've got to be so clean to do the 40-minute share. And you know, this is kind of the second time I've done the 15-minute share, so I kind of just need to do the 15 once more time, and then I can tell people I've done the 45-minute share, which I thought about. You know, so I kind of, that's my ego, and then you know, sorted, so I'll be able to kind of. I'm kind of really nervous. I don't know what I'm going to say up here. You know, I've done a kind of few shares, and I've kind of learnt now not to try and think too much about what I'm sharing, because I just kind of get lost because I'm thinking, oh, I forgot that, you know. So I kind of just try and come and have a little prayer before and just try and tell my story, you know. And what I want to kind of try and do is kind of try and really speak directly to a newcomer, you know, because I think if I do that, then I just get myself out of the way, really, and kind of. You know, so to any newcomers in here, you know, if you're sat in here and you're kind of feeling overwhelmed, you're feeling paranoid, scared, you know, welcome, you know what I mean? Because that's how I felt when I first come in here. You know, I come into these rooms scared, vulnerable, didn't have a clue what was going on, you know, I didn't come in because I'd heard it was this amazing place. I just had nowhere else to go. You know, I tried so many times to get clean, so many different ways, and nothing worked. You know, nothing worked. I drained all my family's resources. You know, their love, their money. You know, my friends. Everything I'd done was to kind of just take from everyone. You know, and I just ended up in a real lonely spot, believing nobody cared for me, nobody liked me. So then kind of when I come to rooms like this and there was just people everywhere, I would just kind of think, you know, I don't want to get close to anyone. I don't want to really talk to anyone, because all I'm going to do is they're probably going to find out who I am. I'm probably going to end up kind of ripping them off, you know, and I can't tell them who I really am, you know. But what I've done, I kind of come and I sat and I listened. And I listened to people talking about things that I've just talked about there, you know, about how I felt, about the things I've done, and I started to feel a little bit more comfortable, you know, and I just kind of kept coming back, you know, I kept kind of coming to these meetings and listening to people get well, you know, like listening to their stories. And at first, you know, not believing them, you know, I'd kind of sit there and I remember listening to people sharing, saying about, you know, they'd got jobs and they'd got clean, and I thought, yeah, that's probably, you know, and I kind of believed what they were saying, but I had this belief that it had never happened for me, you know. I didn't believe that that I was worth that. I didn't believe that I was capable of that, you know, and because my experience growing up, you know, was that, you know, my environment, and that wasn't why I used my environment. What happened wasn't why I used, but it knocked me in a lot of ways, you know, and kind of knocked my confidence. You know, I grew up in quite a violent home. You know, my old man was a functioning alcoholic. He was quite violent to my mum. So kind of growing up, you know, I was run by fear straight away. I remember kind of being up in the bedroom, listening to my mum get hit, and wanting to go down and stop my dad. You know, wanting him to stop that, but I couldn't. I was too scared of him, you know. I was too scared to go downstairs and stop him. So straight away, I was telling myself I was no good, you know, and you know, that I couldn't help anyone, you know. So my thinking started to have to change, because that was a real painful place for me to be, you know. And like, I didn't have any resources as a kid to understand that that's what was happening, you know. So I just had to kind of, with what I had, and my thinking changed. I started thinking, well, if my mum would have kept her mouth shut, she wouldn't have got a slap. You know, and that was to protect me, to kind of stop me from feeling how I felt, and but it worked, you know. So kind of from an early age, my thinking was starting to get quite warped, and I grew up believing that relationships between men and women, you know, was the man went and did this and the woman went and did that, you know. So kind of going out into the world growing up, it wasn't just that, there was loads about racism. My dad was quite racist, you know, so I went out with them beliefs, and I kind of started to grow up with a load of beliefs that when I started to have to take them out into the world, didn't serve me well in the world that I wanted to live in. You know, I was a loving, kind, caring young kid, but I didn't know, you know, no one had ever showed me how to love, how to care. You know, all I was shown is all these resentments and anger, because I had two parents who were really young who didn't know how to teach me that, you know. So I kind of went out into the world kind of with all these beliefs, and it was scary. It was I just didn't, you know, kind of went out and fucked up, really, because I wasn't being the person I wanted to be. So I had to start kind of believing these beliefs and becoming this person that I didn't want to be. And it was so sad, so lonely within myself, you know, kind of. Growing up, I kind of started to feel like I was getting further and further and further away from who I was, you know, from the young, kind, caring boy who I was. And it started to become really painful. And this, you know, all this is before drugs, you know, and like kind of I'd be around these people who was racist, who was homophobic, who was violent, you know. And I was this person, like, just living that, but scared to death, absolutely terrified, paranoid, you know, that these people were going to find out that that's not who I was, you know, that I was a scared little boy. So I had to kind of buy into this and play it, you know. And like I said, it got painful. And I remember going to bed on a night, just going to sleep and just kind of just being scared to get up the next day to be around these people. And yeah, it was horrible. And I kind of, you know, I used to have to take drugs in order to kind of function, really, just to be able to live in that world. And the drugs got worse, you know, like, in the sense, you know, I'm not going to go drug-a-thon, you know. I started at cannabis, ended up on a heroin addict, and done everything in between, you know. And I ended up on heroin, and like I said, I drained every resource from everybody around me. Everybody I looked at was a victim of me getting drugs in order to become this to stay this person who I didn't want to be, and to hide this person who I was, you know. And it was like just a painful existence. And I tried many times to get clean, and when I got clean, like, I thought, yes, got clean. But then I was left with this scared, vulnerable boy going out into the world, not being able to show anyone. So I had to start falling back on the beliefs, because I didn't have anything else to put in place, you know. And I hated myself. Oh, I kind of, I went from town to town to try and get away from myself. Went from town to town to try thinking that if I just started again somewhere else and nobody knew me, I'd be all right. And every time I ended up back in the same place. And then I went to a treatment centre about 15 years ago. I went to a treatment centre. It was one of 12-step, one of a cognitive behavioural therapy one. And I kind of went in there, and it was... I remember after a couple of days being in there, for the first time, feeling quite safe, you know, because, like, there was some people, like, talking about some of the stuff, how I felt and stuff, and I felt quite safe. And it was the first time that I could remember feeling safe, you know. And I thought, I'm going to be all right. And I kind of continued in this treatment centre. And throughout this treatment centre, they said the way I was because, you know, I grew up in this environment, I had these beliefs, and I was taught that. So that's what they told me, you know. They told me that that's what was wrong with me. So I thought, great, I know what's wrong with me now, what I can do. You know, this treatment centre said, if you're going to drink, drink sensibly. So I thought, sweet, I've got this knowledge now, I'm going to go out into the world and drink sensibly, you know, within, like, I think they told me to have 2 pints at a time, and we could go out once a week and have 2 pints, you know. I never once had 2 pints. I went out, I got steaming, I sneaked back in, woke up the next day and told them I had 2 pints. So straight away I was lying, you know what I mean? I was back to telling lies, you know, and back on that road to destruction, you know. I didn't know it at the time how powerless I was from that very first 2 pints that I had started that kind of, you know, that obsession off again. And anyway, kind of went through that, you know, about that drug-a-thon again, you know, drinking, taking Valium, taking heroin, all back on my knees. I'd lost everything, you know. I was kind of, within that period, I'm really conscious at the time, but within that period of leaving treatment that time, you know, I'd learnt some words. I'd learnt a little bit about recovery. I kind of seen there was another way, you know, and stuff like that. And it was quite exciting at the time, you know, because, like, I'd gone out and I was this new person. Before that, I'd never been able to express myself or tell, you know, anyone how I felt. But then I got this new vocabulary, went out, and there was like 18 of us in the pub, all talking recovery, you know what I mean? It was mental. But it looked, to people looking in from the outside, it looked really attractive because it was like 18 lads all playing pool, getting pissed, talking about feelings, you know, and it was like, it attracted some women, you know what I mean? And it was like, it was brilliant, do you know what I mean? I started to be able to use this vocabulary to manipulate, you know what I mean? And you know, if I'm honest, I had a bit of a good laugh for a few years, you know what I mean? And the outside stuff kind of started to get good, you know, the outside stuff, I got a job, you know, I got a job and I went to the World Cup in Germany, which was a dream of mine, you know, to go to World Cup, and all the outside stuff were brilliant. But when I look back now, everything started around a piss-up. You know, I went to the World Cup so we could get pissed. I went on holiday so I could get pissed, you know, and it was all about the addiction. And anyway, it kind of inevitably brought me back to my knees. And I ended up losing everything, you know, back in a hostel, injecting into my groin and sat there. And it wasn't doing anything for my thinking, you know. The reason why I took drugs in the first place was to slow my thinking down. It wasn't doing anything for my thinking. Physically, it was stopping me from rattling, but my thinking was still, you know, going, and it was painful. So I kind of went to this, and I got kind of lucky enough to get another chance at treatment, and which I went to down in Portsmouth. Again, it wasn't 12-step. But I went in there, and it was really painful because I went in there having all this knowledge of treatment before. So I was sat in groups and kind of, you know, really wanting to get honest, but I just didn't have the ability to get honest because it was kind of quite challenging to challenge me and to get honest. So I'd be like, but then I'd just think, fuck off, and I'd start telling everyone about myself, you know, and it was like I couldn't get honest. And I'd go to bed thinking, shit, I want to get honest, but I couldn't. And it was quite a painful time was that. But then H&I come in, and I remember going to this meeting, and we had an option. You could either sing karaoke or go to an NA meeting. And I went, you know, I was self-obsessed to fuck, I wasn't standing up singing, so I went in this meeting, do you know what I mean? So I sat in this meeting, and this fella shared, and it was sharing, and it was just like, he started sharing about kind of, about feelings, and you know, and all that kind of stuff, and it was, you know, I identified, but I'd had that before, you know, I'd had a bit of identification before, but he started sharing about stuff, but then when he finished, no one challenged him, no one told him what he was saying was wrong, no one told him what he needed to do. People just shared back and said, oh yeah, I feel like that. And that for me, I look back now, was the first kind of sign of love, if I'm honest, you know, people showing each other love and respecting each other, not trying to get at each other, you know. And it was like, there was just a feeling, I can't, you know, I'm trying to explain, and I kind of walked out of that meeting, and I had a nice feeling, and I'm an addict, so I wanted more feeling, so I went back the next week, yeah, and I kind of went back to this meeting, and I just started to kind of, something started to happen, I don't know what it was, you know, I really started to get into it, listening to the stories, and then kind of, I left that treatment centre, and I left with nothing, and I come to these rooms in Narcotics Anonymous in Portsmouth, and from there, what's happened is I've been able to, like I said, you know, I sat there, I was scared, I was vulnerable, and I kind of sat in these meetings and I kind of heard people sharing that stuff. And the more I've stuck about, the more identification I've got, the more I've been accepted, the more I start to accept others. You know, I listen to other people's stories and I kind of, I identify with it, and it's just kind of cultivated love for me, do you know, and I love that. When I talk about that little boy who was kind and caring and loving, that person's becoming a coming out again, and listen, it's not, I don't walk around being able to shed my feelings, you know, it's a massive process, but there's moments, like moments now when I've just shared that I'm a very kind, caring, loving person that I get in this program, and that fills my heart with gratitude, it fills my heart with love, and it's kind of, I want to give that to other people, you know, I really do, I really kind of, I've just finished my step 12, and it's like, you know, I feel like I've got a purpose. I never felt like I had a purpose, and this program's given me a purpose. It's given me something to focus on, you know, to stop beating myself up. It's given me a new set of beliefs that I believe in, not ones that was given to me, ones that I believe. You know, I've been given the opportunity again to grow up, you know, to become an adult in my own right and not take on anybody else's beliefs. And I'm not saying all my beliefs are perfect, but what they are, they're mine, and it's my choice, you know, and for that I'll always be grateful, you know. I'm really grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. Any newcomers in here, just like, kind of, just if you can speak to one person, give them your number, and anyone that gets a number off a newcomer, give them a text, you know, because that's what we're doing it. And I'm really grateful for coming out. It's had it there. Thank you.